be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Minding Our Own Business. Based on the epistle lesson which was read today, finding our theme especially in verse 5, which reads, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." I encourage you to take out the blue insert in your bulletin as we consider our theme, Minding Our Own Business. Well, what comes to mind when you hear those words? Mind your own business. I had to admit, when I handed the sermon outline to Doreen to type it up, I had a sheepish grin on my face, wondering what people would be thinking in the congregation. What does the pastor know that I don't think he really knows? What's going on? Why would he say, mind your own business? Well, what are you thinking about this morning? Mind our own business. Today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday the church traditionally remembers our Lord coming to Jerusalem with people waving palms, He on the back of a donkey, humble, a servant, getting ready to go to the cross for you and for me. The Philippians 2 text today talks about Jesus' attitude. It talks about the business He was to be about. And guess what? The attitude of Jesus in Philippians 2 and the business that He was about going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is the same attitude and business we are to be about today. So the question is, what is the business we need to be minding? Listen to Philippians 2, and I encourage you, if you want, to follow it on the back of your bulletin as we read these words again. The first few verses. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. But He made Himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, He was born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." There you have it. Minding our own business simply means to be Christians. And the word Christians means to be little Christs, to live and to act and have the attitude that our Lord Christ did Himself. What was our Lord's attitude in this text as He came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey? He was humble. He was obedient. He was busy about serving others to the point of laying down His life. Now, the church today, and our church is no exception. And sometimes I think we have too many programs, too many plans, too many committees, all kinds of activities, all kinds of business. But in the midst of all this busyness, are we about minding our own business? The business that our Lord has given us to mind, to be like Jesus for each other in this congregation, and to be like Jesus and treat others like our Lord in our families, where we work, and where we go to school. To be Christ-like, says the text, is to be humble and to be thinking of others before I think of myself. The root meaning of the word humble means to stoop or to bow. It regards our posture and our attitude before God, realizing who I am in His sight, and realizing that my number one priority in life should be seeking the welfare of others before I ask what's in it for me. A little boy was in a wheat field with his grandfather, looking at the harvest of wheat, seeing if it was ready to bring up. And the little boy said to his grandpa, "Those must be the best stalks of wheat. See how they're standing straight and true and pointing up? They must be really great. They're so proud." And the grandpa picked two stalks of wheat and said, "Look at this stalk, the one you like, and look at this stalk, bowing all the way over with its head fully heavy with grain. this is the one that's really doing what God wants him to do. His head's so full of grain. That's the reason God created him, to bear grain, to feed others. And he is bent over in humility and humbleness. God says to us today, unlike the values of the world that are shouted at you every day from the marketplace, every day from the television, every day from the movie screen, every day from the newspaper, God says to us today, true greatness in God's kingdom is a life of humble service, is a life bowed before me in every task, in every relationship, like a bowed full head of wheat. It can best, God says, give me praise, serve others, and do what I created it to do. Look at Roman numeral 2. So what is the business of the church? What is the business of the church in 60 AD in Philippi? And what is the business of the church in the year of our Lord 2008 in Richmond, British Columbia? We need to ask this question. Does our Sunday singing match our Monday through Saturday living? Today's verses in the epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2 are an ancient Christian hymn. In fact, many Bible scholars claim what we have in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, you have it in front of you, is the first Christian hymn ever written. It's a great example of how Christians spoke and thought and sung about Jesus some 20 to 30 years after his crucifixion and resurrection. It's been said if you really want to know what a Christian believes and holds true, look at the songs they sing. It's true today. Now follow your bulletin, because I want to read to you these few verses. Picture this, we don't have the music anymore, we just have the words. Picture this as the first hymn written by the Christian church. Follow as I read. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And St. Paul, in his letter to the church of Philippi, purposely includes the verses of this hymn because he's addressing the church of Philippi in 60 A.D., and he's addressing the church of Trinity Lutheran Church in 2008 in Richmond, B.C., and he's asking these words, and listen to them again. Does your Sunday singing match your Monday through Saturday living? This hymn shows us the problem, the disease that all of us have today, the problem of me, myself, and I. This hymn is about the humility and servanthood of Jesus. But the problem with the church of Philippi, if you read the rest of the book, you'll discover it, is the same problem with the church of Trinity Lutheran Church. It's the same problem in each of our hearts and each of our lives. A lack of humility, a lack of servanthood. Too much, I want what I want in the church, on the job, in the home. This attitude can sound like this in the church. Let me quote. This is what I want in this church. Now, I don't have time to help to make it happen. And I don't want to spend my money to contribute to help it happen. So let them do it. But the question is, who's them? In today's text from St. Paul, Paul says it's time for those who claim to believe in Christ to be busy about minding our own business. And the business is not me, myself, and I, but what's best for all of us. For Jesus' sake, what's best for the dying world all around us? Now, to quote that famous biblical theologian, Stephen Gettle, from last Sunday's announcement, if you were here, you know what I'm going to say. Now it's time in the sermon to quit preaching and start meddling. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 principle in the church? It goes like this. It's true in every church. 80% of the work in any congregation is done by 20% of the people. 80% of the financial contributions for the church budget for the sake of the world is given by 20% of the people. Now, Trinity Lutheran Church, let's pause for a moment. Let's take stock of where we're at. Do you realize how much God has blessed us just in these last 6 months? Listen to some of these blessings. These aren't the most important blessings. The most important blessings are people coming to saving faith in Christ. But these are nickels and noses. You can count these kinds of things. The average attendance of our church in worship has gone in 6 months from 110 to 115 to 150 to 160. That's a raise of 50% in attendance. We have 2 new membership classes with 30 new people soon to become members of the congregation or more. We have expanded to 3 English as a second language Bible study classes for those seeking to learn the language and know about their Savior. We have 14 to 16 teenagers in Bible class on Sunday morning. And if you're in my Bible class, you heard him this morning, didn't you? It sounded like elephants upstairs. Praise God for that noise. Now, in face of all of this, here's the challenge. In face of all these undeserved blessings from our God, where is our stewardship of our time and our talents and our financial resources? In our congregation, in the midst of these blessings, there continues to be an ongoing shortfall of people who will step up to the plate and help when help is needed. Now, you've heard me say this before. I won't mention any names, but their initials are, well, I'll just pick on one. So, Lindsay, I'll pick on you. We had a rummage sale last week. It was wonderful. But we needed so much more help than what we got. We had a work day yesterday. I'm sorry, I was ill. In fact, I've come out of my sick bed. If I don't have quite the energy today, you know it's because I've been sicker than a proverbial dog. But yesterday we learned there were as many people from the English as a second language class helping as people who were longtime members of our congregation. That's interesting. Our financial offerings. God wants to do wonderful things through us. Our offerings aren't meeting our budget. So what's the point? In face of the blessings God is pouring out before us, here are 3 questions. Here's the meddling part, by the way. I challenge you today to go home and ask God in the privacy of your own home and your own heart, "Dear Lord, what would you have me do in this place for our church family?" And then to respond to requests as they are given from the lectern, from other people, to respond to these requests. And if you're not sure what you could do, to take time to ask a leader of the congregation, or even have a cup of tea or coffee with me, or a beverage of my choice, and we'll talk about what could you be doing for the sake of the church family here. You see, the sermon title is Minding Our Own Business. And Jesus' business is our business. And what was his business? Look at your Roman numeral 3. Now I'll quit meddling and get back to preaching. Jesus' business was to be for us a model and also the very power of living humble servanthood lives. Here's the model. It's listed before you in 4 points. The model of humility, number 1, is to know what your rights are. But then, to lay them aside for somebody else's needs. Verse 5, Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave up his rights. Jesus gave up equality with God in heaven. He gave up the riches of glory. He gave up all those things that were rightfully his. And what did he trade him in for? For you and for me. He gave up his rights that he might meet our needs by going to the cross, by letting sinful men drive spikes into his hands and his feet, that he might cry out, feeling forsaken by God. Why did he do this? He did this because he loves you. Thank God, because he loves a sinner like me. He gave up his rights to meet our needs. And now our Lord Jesus is calling us to be what we are in him, forgiven sinners who choose to lay aside our rights to meet the needs of somebody else. Secondly, the second model of humility is to serve, not to grab for what's yours. Verse 6 says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus did not grab onto and hold on to for all he was worth equality with God the Father. Instead, he emptied himself out and became a servant for you and for your salvation. The third model of humility is to identify with sinners, not to prejudge them. I told you the story of Mrs. Miller in my third grade school, where she said, be careful now when you point a finger at someone because you have three coming back at yourself. The modern church today and the modern Christian should be busy about the business of identifying with sinners and loving them into the kingdom instead of prejudging them. Well, Jesus became a human being. Why did he do it? So that he could fully know our needs. He could fully know our hurts. He could fully know our wants. You remember that old black gospel song? It sums it up. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And Jesus is calling us to take time, to set aside our agendas, to take time to discover the hurts and the needs and the fears of somebody else before we quickly prejudge them. Fourth model of humility is love. And love is a decision. Love is a decision to give up my rights to meet somebody else's needs. Verse 8 says, being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He gave up his rights. Jesus made a decision to give up his rights in heaven for you and for me. And here's the truth. Love is not a feeling. We misunderstand it. Today we say, I love hot dogs. I love this. I love that. Love is an act of the will that says, I will lay aside what's rightfully mine and deny myself to care for somebody else. But Jesus is not just the model. He's also the power of God to help us do that. Listen to the way this hymn ends. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestows on him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is calling us to be what he has already pioneered. That is, Jesus is only asking us to do what his resurrection victory empowers us to do. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power of God's Spirit who changes our hearts today, that we might set aside our selfish agendas and look to the needs of others. Listen to these verses from Philippians 2 that came right after this Jesus hymn. For it is God who is at work in you, both to help you will and to work his good pleasure, so that you can prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave dwells in our heart as the living Christ lives in us, that we can be his people as lights in a world of darkness. Well, we conclude. Years ago, there was an auctioneer who had been busy all afternoon auctioning various items off. The end of the day came and he was very tired, but he saw to his side one last item. And boy, you'll appreciate this. It was an old, tattered, beat up, dusty violin. And he picked up the violin with a smirk on his face that said, "I hope I can get a few bucks out of this thing. I'm tired of the whole day." And he said, "Okay, who'll give me a dollar? Who'll give me two? Who'll give me $3 for this old violin?" And a voice from the back said, "Please, wait." And from the back to the front of the auction hall came a stooped-over, white-haired old man. He lovingly took the violin from the auctioneer, and he dusted it off. And he tightened the strings. And he took the bow and played the most beautiful melody on the violin. And the audience was silent. He handed it back to the auctioneer. And the auctioneer saw the interest in the eyes of the people, and he said, "Who'll give me one? Who'll give me two? Who'll give me $300 for this beautiful violin?" "Sold for $500. And the auctioneer turned to his assistants and said, What changed the value of this old violin?" And the assistant said, "It was the touch of the master's hand." My dear friends in Christ, you have been touched with the nail-pierced hands of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You, yes, you, are precious beyond all words. You are a light in this world of darkness. Now, in Jesus' name, and in the power of his resurrection that dwells in your hearts, go to your Monday through Saturday lives, loving and serving others, because this is minding our own business, the business Jesus has given us to mind, in his name and for his sake and for the sake of our world. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.